As you can see, we're just people. We're people, and we all need God. And some of us are struggling with this idea of needing God. And others of us have given up and given in and decided, let God be God. I found it's easier that way. It's easier that way because especially if you start to try to live a different life. You start maybe going to church or either, you know, thinking about it, maybe showing up a little bit here and there. You start out, God takes notice to that. And it's sort of like the brother mentioned, man, I was excited when he talked about these inventions. And I believe that's coming from God. I won't be surprised if all the reasons why he doesn't have his home and his things that were comfortable to him not long ago is just something to bring some strength into his life and bring him into an awareness and a position of God even more than where he is. And just up ahead, there are going to be some big blessings coming your way, brother. Amen. I believe that. Because God never lets his children down. But if you just start, it's like a person may start on a project. Wanting to live, you know, you want to live for God, but you're not sure you're ready yet. Are you not sure that how much of it you can stick with at this moment? Because there are a lot of things going on in your life. And God knows we're human. He knows how we think. And many of us have gone through these things. But when a composer starts out to compose, say, a symphony or some masterpiece music, some of these things take years to develop. But if there's no starting point, it won't ever happen. See what I'm saying? If there's not a starting point, it won't ever happen. And the same way in living for God, if we don't start, we'll never get there. But if we make a start, no matter what we have to go through, no matter how long it takes, and no matter what comes into our lives and the struggles we may have to endure, just making that start has the attention of the one who's able to take us all the way. Hallelujah. That's why the Word of God says, by faith we're saved. Because nobody can just start out and know how it's all going to end up, except we know that the victory is with Jesus. And we know, or at least we think we know, and we believe, and we testify about it, that all things do work together for the good. And you may be going through something right now, wondering, how in the world does this fit in to that? All things work together for the good to who? Those that love God. Amen. And are the called according to His purpose. And who knows what the purpose of God is in your life? Who besides God knows? Amen. I don't know what His purpose is for me, but I know that whatever His purpose is, somehow from my start to serve Him, and with His call and beckoning, go here and do a work for me. I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it when I came to Norwich. I had no idea how to do anything we're even doing now. All I knew is I had started a few years ago and said to God many times along the way, Lord, I'm willing. And that's all He's looking for. A start and a willing heart. If you got that, you got what it takes. I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm on the way. I'm on the way. And we all can say that if we have started, I'm not all the way there yet, but I'm on the way. Amen. Sometimes I want to say, are we almost there? Are we there yet? Amen. But every once in a while we get a blessing. It's like, you know, things go wrong and bottom falls out and this happens and that happens and disappointing news comes. The phone rings and it gets you nervous because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what they're going to say or what it's about. Maybe it's a death message and just all kinds of things go on and we just get flustered sometimes. And then in the middle of it all, we start thinking about God. We start thinking about goodness. We start thinking about mercy. Start thinking about hope. Hallelujah. And something better that we have found. And our reason for wanting to start living for God. Amen. And somehow that just makes it all better. It makes the bad news even easier to take. It makes the twists and the turns of life easier to deal with and cope with. Amen. And no matter who you are, no matter who we are, any of us that are watching, listening, or present tonight, we are going to have some struggles. But the God that loves any one of us loves every one of us. Hallelujah. And the God that will provide for any one of us is willing to provide for every one of us. And I don't care who you are, what you look like, how you dress, where you go, what you do, what you've done, how you feel, how you may have done some things you know shouldn't be right, or can't be right. And maybe you've got these things in your mind and wonder if God would even deal with you. I want to tell you something. You're not less important than anybody else. You're not loved less by God Almighty than any one of us. And any opportunity I have or anybody has is your opportunity. All He wants is somebody to make a start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just somebody make a start. And then from that start to the end of the road, to the end of the destination, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But you know what? If you don't make a start, it's interesting too. I like stories with happy endings. You're going to have bills to pay whether you live for God or not. Don't quit God just because you get down with your bills. You're still going to have them. Don't quit God just because you're sick. You're going to be sick with Him or without Him. But one thing about it, we've got a God who's able to fix us, and when we don't have that in our lives, what are we serving? One who can't even fix himself. Hallelujah. The God of this world. Or the spirits that are trying to be God. You know, And they lie. They just lie. They speak in tongues too. It's like, yeah, little old forked tongues and double talk tongues. And promising you things that they can't fulfill and don't intend to. And they speak as the Spirit gives utterance to the people that yield to those spirits. And you might think sometimes that you're doing the talking, and you may not even believe in speaking in tongues, but the very things you're saying may not even be you. And you may not be living for God, but you may be saying things that you shouldn't be saying. That's speaking in tongues, but it's not the kind that gets you into heaven. Amen. But a spirit in you, whether it be of God or whether it be of some other force, will prompt certain things to happen in your life. And you will say things as a result of that spirit dwelling in you. Amen. You don't believe it? Just walk out on the street and listen to people talk. Just listen to people talk. Well, you might say, well, they're just human. Look, it's not normal for people to talk like some of these people talk. It's abnormal. There's something going on there that is subhuman. Amen. You see, God created man a little lower than the angels. But there were some angels that went a little lower than man. Hallelujah. And they want to get in you and bring you down even further than you are. And we got power over those demons. We got power over those demons. I don't care who you are, whether you're serving God or not, if you call on the name of the Lord, He'll save you from your destruction. He'll save you from your calamity. When you call on the name of the Lord, you find hope. You find rest for your soul. When you call on the name of the Lord, no matter where you're coming from, no matter how you've been living, to have made a start and know that He knows that I started. And I may be living a rotten life right now, but there's something causing me to think wrong thoughts, something causing me to say things I shouldn't say, do things I know I shouldn't be doing. I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I started out one day, so the best thing I know to do is talk to the one that knows that I started. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how to fix anything. You ever got in a car and started it and then something didn't sound right? Yeah, you look at the junkyards around Norwich, you'll see all of Brother Dana's cars. You get in that car. You know what you need to do at that point? Turn loose of that starter switch. If you got any hope of getting the thing started, you're going to have to wait a moment. Because you just hold on to that thing and it's not starting off right. It'll finally go... Then you go click, 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 click. Now you can beat on that dashboard. And it's not going to help anything. You can get out of the car and kick the tires. It won't make it go. My granddad did that to his car and he got so mad he threw the keys away. That didn't help a thing. The whole family had to spend the day digging through the yard trying to find those keys. The best thing to do when you tried to start and couldn't start is fix the starter. Or whatever's causing the starter not to work. If it's a battery, get the battery charged. Get a boost. And I'm talking about a car, but I'm also talking about a human being. If you can't get started right, I know somebody that can fix it. Hallelujah. If when you're trying to start out to live for God, everything dies and it doesn't seem you can get anything going, call on Jesus. He's better than AAA. Hallelujah. He'll be there in a moment. And He'll fix your problem. If you can't start yourself, and we can't, praise God. No matter how hard we try, it's just... But you call on Jesus. Here we go. Where are we going? It don't matter as long as God is there. Hallelujah. It's going to be an exciting trip. Doesn't matter. You ever taken off drive somewhere and didn't care where you was going, you just drove? Just, you know, sometimes just to get away from everything. You know, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, this is a problem, that's a problem, the phone's ringing, the baby's crying, I'm sick with all this stuff going on, husband's mad, the boss is crazy, neighbors are going nuts. So what do you do? Go out in the car and just take off. And you're going down the road and somebody gets in your way. Beep, beep, beep. And he yells back, where are you going? And you have to think a moment. I don't know. I think I'm talking to some people that know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But on the journey of life, whether you're living for God or not living for God, what one of us knows what's going to happen next? I don't know what's going to happen next. Do you realize in a moment's time, something underneath this building or in front of this building that we may not know about could explode or either open up? The ground could just open up and swallow us all up. This might just suddenly feel like an elevator, and we may think we've had a stroke. You know, we'll all be sitting here feeling like we're going somewhere. You know, the building's kind of, man, it's a concrete floor and several floors, and the whole building seemed like it's going somewhere. Seemed like we're on a ride. And everything's going to be all right for a while. You know, we wonder, oh, maybe I'm dizzy. Maybe something's wrong. It's okay till you hit bottom. What was I going to preach on tonight? That wasn't my plan, but I'll just, you know, I'm not going to keep you a long time and get into a long sermon. I can't think of anything that I had in my plans that would be more, you might say, appropriate than what God wants. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know where I'm going, so I'm just going to drive. Hallelujah. Let me stop for a moment and say, God loves you. God loves you. Let me drive a little further. Let's stop again. He wants you. The Lord wants you to be His friend. It's incredible to think about. Almighty God wants you to be His friend. Hallelujah. Watch at the next corner. Then we'll see. Well, God says, if you will call on me, if you will talk to me and tell me what it is that's bothering you, I'll listen. Now, you can find a lot of people that say they'll do that, but they won't do it. But God will. I'll listen. And not only will He listen, His whole Bible is to tell us that He will listen and He will come to your rescue. He'll come to your aid. He'll help you. God will help you. Some people get all hung up and we say, He, talking about God, and they say, you need to give women equal time. Well, if you want to think of God as a shield, she'll help you too. Because the Bible says He'll be your father or your mother. I would say, call on her then. God is not really a he or a she. But He did manifest His Spirit in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ declared Almighty God by raising the dead, cleansing the leper, opening the blinded eyes, walking on the sea. Hallelujah. Who is this? Who is this? It must be the Son of God. I'm going to praise Him tonight. Let's just thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Must be the Son of God. My Lord and my God. Let me conclude with some scripture reading here. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, we owe something, but not to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you're able to say, I love you, Daddy. Hallelujah. To God. That's what Abba Father means. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, when you're a child of somebody that loves you, you can just trust that person that loves you. Amen. Hey, Cyrus, how you doing? I want to grow up and be just like him. Hallelujah. That's right. He's our new deacon in the church here. That's right. When you know that the one that says, "You're my child," loves you, you don't have to figure a whole lot of things out. You know, mom says, "Come and eat." I didn't have to cook it. I didn't have to work for it. That's right. I didn't have to go out in the field and gather it up. I was just playing my games, having my fun. And she didn't have to yell too many times. "Dinner's on!" I don't care what I was playing. Football, baseball, basketball, hide and go seek, croquet, kick the can. It's supper time. He's getting ready to pitch that ball. Mom comes out on the back porch and says, "Food's ready." There's some things more important than the games I'm playing. There are some priorities in life. Amen. There are some priorities in life. Amen. I mean, there's some things that you can just drop because you know that there's something just ahead that's going to make you feel better. Hallelujah. Going to satisfy you on the inside. Going to make you feel stronger. Amen. There's something about mama's cooking. She knows how to fix that gravy and biscuits. Chicken and dumplings. Banana pudding. Woo! Fried chicken. Summertime, used to have a watermelon around. Real cold. My Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Time to come and eat, son. That's what Jesus is doing. Amen. Here we are going through all the things we go through, and he says, supper time. That's why we go to church. We come to a place like this to eat. We eat something that comes from God himself, a prepared meal. I didn't have to do anything to make it happen. All I needed to do is show up, and the table is spread. Hallelujah! The table is spread. Come and dine. But what if I've been in places where I shouldn't be, and I've been doing things I shouldn't have done? Hey, the food is for you too. You come and enjoy it with us. You don't have to sit here with a guilty conscience and get all upset. Just you know, if you already know you've done something wrong, then you're most of the way through with your repenting. A sorrowful heart works toward your repentance. Go ahead and tell God you're sorry and forgive yourself and eat.
Hallelujah.
Eat the food. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Hallelujah. The biggest problem people have in repenting is forgiving themselves. As soon as God forgives them, they keep on saying, "God, please forgive me." God already did. First time you asked him to, it was done. And now you got a whole hour trying to say, "Please." When you could be eating and feasting on his goodness. Amen. Just we can't forgive ourselves sometimes. I thank God he's God. He loves us. All right, I'm almost through. If you live after the flesh, you'll have to go through the things that the flesh goes through. But if you're led by the Spirit, you get all these benefits of God being there. And we receive something that's able to say, just like talking to our daddy that cares, "Hey, I need you right now." And him being there. He's there. There was sometimes my natural daddy couldn't be there. I really needed him. I really needed him. There were times I got myself into things that I couldn't get myself out of. And I needed my daddy. And he couldn't be there. And I had to get somebody else that didn't know me, that didn't understand me, that didn't really realize what was going on in my life to try to help me, take me to the hospital, rescue me. Never forget that lady that, you know, the highways are, you know, built with lanes, right? And I'm just driving along happy and free, having a good time in my Volkswagen bus. And just enjoying life. The rain is coming down. Windshield wipers are working. I'm going about 60 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, here's a lady turns off in front of me, meeting me, and turns off in front of me. And here I am right there. Here's this car. The side of her car is right in front of this Volkswagen that has no motor in front. The motor's in back. And all it has, you know, all you can do in a Volkswagen bus if you're going to hit something is smash yourself. That's all. There's no protection. There is no protection. And so when she turned off in front of me and on that rain slick road, and I was going about 60 miles an hour, there was nothing I could do. Nothing I could do. There she was. Here I was. Boom! Splat! There it was. Everything went black. I didn't know anything. You know, you might wonder what it's like after you die. That's how it is, I guess. If you can just get past the point of dying, you're all, you know, the pain will be over. For a while, if you're living right. So then I came back to an awareness. I opened one of my eyes because the other one wouldn't open. And I looked into the rearview mirror with my left eye. Big old gash on my head and blood coming down my face and off on my clothes. And I looked at that pitiful sight in my rearview mirror, which was about the only thing that wasn't broken in front of me. And I thought, this is the end of my life. I'm gone. I cannot survive. Somebody had gotten in my Volkswagen bus behind me and opened the side door because the front doors were jammed, wouldn't open. And they got in and my door wasn't open. I'm getting my buses mixed up. And they opened the passenger side and came over to me. And I heard them say these words, "Are you all right?" Now that's a terrible thing to say to somebody who just had a collision with blood all over him. Like my dad, he was following this car with two men down south several years ago when there was a lot of racial barriers down there. And anyway, this vehicle just went all directions, turned upside down, and there were two men lying in the ditch bleeding, and they were dying. Both of them did die. And my dad was the only one there on the scene, and he ran down into the ditch and was praying with them, trying to work with them, trying to help them any way that he could. And he yelled to a man who was standing on the porch, said, "Please call an ambulance. Call an ambulance. Call and get some help." And the man ran in the house, and then he ran back out of the house, and he yelled, "Are they white or are they black?" Now that's no time to be trying to figure out if somebody's different race than you are. What, and this is what my dad said, "What difference does it make? These are people that need some help." I'm glad that we got past some of those years and I got away from a lot of that stuff, because that's the most terrible thing can happen to the human being. You get your mind warped by thinking that you're better than somebody else because of the color of your skin. Hallelujah. And that person crawled up beside me and said, "Are you all right?" I thought I was dying. And I said, "No, call my daddy." I was 22 years old, but I still wanted my daddy. I want my daddy. And one of the persons knew me that was standing by. I said, "Oh, I know Brother Rutledge. I'll give him a call." And I looked down at my legs, and there was a big knot on one of my legs. It looked like a big balloon had just come up. And I thought, oh, I'm dying. I'm dying. I laid my head back in some lady's hand. Just bled all over her arms and hand. And she talked to me and said, everything's going to be all right. You just relax now. I don't know who she was, but she gave me some comfort. Pretty soon an ambulance showed up. And everything they do hurt. I mean, just touching me hurt me all over. Oh, I thought every bone in my body is broken. And they put me on that stretcher. And as they were putting me up in the ambulance, I looked out at my Volkswagen bus. And when I saw the smashed up vehicle that I had been driving, I thought, nobody could live through a wreck like that. And I laid my head back to die. And I was asking myself, am I okay? I hope I am. Oh yeah, I did repent last time I went to church. Oh God, I'm going to talk to you now. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I don't want to die lost. Oh God, that might have been some stuff I said. Oh Jesus, help me, please. Jesus. But I was fading out. I could feel myself going. They took me to the hospital. And I was just right there, ready to breathe my last breath. Took me in this little room. Some people cleaned up my wounds, sewed up my head, put a few bandages here and there, and they said, okay, you can go home, Mr. Rutledge. I was almost disappointed. Let's all stand. Just a few bruises and cuts. Amen. Hey, you might think you've had it too. You're going through this life and you've had a wreck and your life isn't what you think it should be and you've been going through all this fleshly stuff. And you may think that you're dying and you're dead. And it's easy to think that because if you stay in that kind of lifestyle, if you just follow after the flesh, you're going to die sooner or later, and you're going to be dying along the way. But if you can mortify the deeds of the flesh, what that means is change. Change the way you are. And you can't do that unless there's a way to start. And Jesus says, I'll help you with that. If you want to start, He will give you the boost. Hallelujah. If you want to start, He will make the motor turn. Hallelujah. If you want to start, He is able to take you all the way to the end of the journey. Praise God. And so if you follow after the Spirit and not after the flesh, then you're able to call on Jesus as your Heavenly Father. Call on God Almighty as your Heavenly Father. Then when you get in trouble, when it looks like you've had it, call on His name. And right there, right then, right at that moment, He's closer than a brother. Amen. He's closer than a daddy that couldn't always be there. Praise His name. Let's thank Him tonight. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Brother Dan is saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, say it again.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Let's sing it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord, completely yes. Completely yes. My soul says yes. I love You. I love You. I love You. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I love You. I really do, my soul loves you. I need you. I need you. I need you. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I need you. I really do. My soul needs you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Let me tell you something. Your soul says yes even when the rest of you says no. Your soul is longing for what you're feeling right now. Your soul, the eternal part of your existence, wants this more than anything else in your life. And the reason you feel a drawing, and the reason you feel something that's pulling you in a direction, is because God loves your soul. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you may be asking yourself, how do I get started? Well, your answer is this. You already did. Amen. The question should be, are we there yet? How much further is it? What do we do next? Well, there are plenty of things in the Word of God to keep you busy for the rest of your life. You can try starting off, because you wouldn't be at this point if you hadn't already believed that there's a God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we've gotten past that. We believe. All right, what's next? All right. Try repenting if you haven't already, because this is a good boost for your starter, for your engine. Repentance. In fact, we're instructed in the Word of God to teach repentance. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn from iniquity. Turn to God. Repent. That just means basically, beyond saying I'm sorry, turning, changing directions. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you. And there's no greater name that you will ever hear or ever hear anybody sing about, testify about, preach about, and there's no greater name in the Word of God than the name of Jesus. No matter what titles you find, God, our Heavenly Father, manifested Himself through Jesus Christ and made that one same Jesus Lord of all. So you can worship God through Jesus Christ. Nobody can come to the Father any other way. Jesus is the door. Amen. So let's go to God through Jesus. Amen. So repent of your sins, and why not pick the best name available to get baptized in?
Yes,
Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. There is salvation in no other name. Amen. The name of Jesus is the only name given whereby we must be saved. That's the Word of God. Amen. So when you get Jesus' name down on the inside of you, you've got everything that God is. Hallelujah. Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in power.
Hallelujah.
My God Almighty. So I would repent of my sins and be buried in the name of Jesus in water, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins.
Hallelujah.
What do we do next? Let Daddy drive. Hallelujah. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of God, God's presence in your life. Let's worship Him one more time. Let's praise Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He's a great God. He loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 He loves you. And that's what this whole service is about. He loves you.
Amen.
If it should ever come across strong, it's strong love because He loves you. And nothing can separate you from that love if you won't let it. As far as the Word of God is concerned, nothing can separate us from that love. Amen. Come to that love and let the love of God, let God's love show you what real love's all about.